Hi, and welcome to PWTR, the show where we do whatever the fuck we want, and most importantly, Manny's not here this week, so we will really be doing whatever the fuck we want. Isn't that right, Justin?
Yes.
Jesus, come on, dead air, man. You're making us look unprofessional. David, show them how it's done.
Sup, bitches?
Hey, yeah, that's right. I'm being joined today by Justin and David, and we are doing an episode of Last Mark Standing. The thing is, with Last Mark Standing not returning for a while, and the, is it called the spoiler alert, Justin? I'm never good with names.
Yeah, it's spoiler alert.
And with the spoiler alert in full effect for next week, that's a teaser to next week, make sure you listen to that, we're going to be introducing the Last Mark Standing now. These may be coming more sporadically, that way we can create fresher matchups and really increase the interest. So be on your toes, because any week could be a Last Mark Standing, guys. All right. So you guys understand the rules and that this is going to be blind fights tonight, right?
Yep.
All right. That means that these guys have not been given any questions ahead of time. They do not know what I'm going to ask. They're going to have to think of their answers on the spot. And whoever answers first is going to argue first. And the other person will then obviously have extra time to think it over. So if the person who answers first obviously gets their first choice. And that's their advantage. But the person who argues second gets more time to think about it, and that's their advantage.
I guess Mom was right. If you keep doing it, you really will go blind one day.
Aw.
Aw.
Subtle masturbation joke.
All right. So you guys ready to get started?
Yep.
All right. And now we begin round number one. With Vince McMahon just announcing that Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt, and John Cena are all going to be making their return within the next 4 weeks. Which superstar that is returning are we the most excited about?
Bray Wyatt.
Randy Orton.
Right, Justin has Bray. All right. Justin's got Bray Wyatt, and David's got Randy Orton. Justin, are you ready?
Yep.
And go.
All right. Bray Wyatt, he's someone new, and mostly the reason I picked Bray Wyatt out of between the two of John Cena and Randy Orton, I think we've seen the most we're going to see out of them at this point. I'm excited to see where they go with Bray Wyatt because they're really setting something up with him and Roman Reigns before he got injured. I want to see if they revisit that and see where they go. Like, because I think there's a nice dynamic between two foes coming back together to face in a fight. And I want to see where that goes. With Cena, like with Orton, he seems like he doesn't give a fuck anymore. Like, he could care less if he's there. That kind of makes me not care that he's there too. I mean, it's great to see him in-ring work, but I don't see we're going to see his peak anymore. I think we're past is what we're going to see the best of Randy Orton. Same with John Cena. Bray Wyatt's the best because he's still young and he still has. There's more you could tap into with Bray Wyatt. That's why I picked Bray Wyatt.
People. Right, so obviously we don't have to touch on John Cena because nobody picked him. Just going forward. All right.
People, people, people. We have seen this time and time again. This is like an abusive relationship. Don't keep going back to the person that beats you. Okay, Bray Wyatt is a wonderful talent. He's a terrific wrestler, excellent mic worker, and I have to admit, he is one of the best, if not the best mic worker I've seen in the past 10 years. But don't sit here for a minute and try to tell me that you think that Bray Wyatt is going to get some type of magical push. They've been doing this for years now. He is wasted potential, and honestly, I think at this point, he's damaged goods. Yeah, sure, when he comes out to an entrance, people put their cell phones in the air, and they light up the entire crowd, but when it all comes down to it, Bray Wyatt is nothing more than a character. He's not a major player, and at this point, it's going to take a lot for me to believe that he's going to be a major player. And don't get me wrong, it's not like I don't like Bray Wyatt. I'm a huge fan of him, but I'm just sick of them starting his push and stopping it. If they're going to be serious about Bray Wyatt, then I need to actually see it. I don't want to hear about it. With Randy Orton, I know that this guy's going to get a push. And to be quite honest, Randy Orton is just somebody that, honestly, he's probably the most over guy that they have now that Daniel Bryan is gone. When he comes back, that pop is going to be huge. The only person I think that will get a bigger pop than him is Seth Rollins, and that's a bit circumstantial. But Randy Orton is going to go out there, and he always is at the top of his game. Well, at least, I shouldn't say always, but I would say 3 times out of 5 isn't too bad. When he's at the top of his game, he is literally one of the best in the world. I can't think of too many other people that are better than him. Bray Wyatt, he's a great wrestler in the ring, but Randy Orton puts on amazing matches. Bray Wyatt puts on great matches, but not the type of quality that Orton does.
If it, you're talking about best in-ring worker, Randy Orton wins. But if you anticipation for someone to come back, I have to say Bray Wyatt. Just look at what they were doing before they got injured. Bray Wyatt got a big pop from The Rock, because I was there at WrestleMania, and that was one of a huge pop. Like, Rock saying, you are talented, Bray Wyatt. And the fans were like, yeah, he's really talented. We got a really loud pop for that. Basically saying the fans are supporting him. And that's why I think, in turn, WWE tried to push Bray Wyatt with Roman Reigns to try to turn him face maybe a little bit, because the fan reaction to that sequence was so powerful. It was like, man, maybe we really do have something with Bray Wyatt, and they're going to go with him. And then he started this thing with Roman Reigns, which he's showing some interest, and he was getting the fans on his side and stuff. Like, there's some intrigue with Bray Wyatt. That, unfortunately, he got injured, and that cut that a little short. But when he comes back, they could try to recapture that and go forward. Randy Orton, he was, like, bumming out with Sheamus. He was in a feud with Dean Ambrose he didn't give a fuck about. Like, Randy Orton was in a flux of I don't give a fuck. And I think at this point he's married. He has, like, 12 title reigns. He knows he's past the point where he's going to be doing anything substantial on the top of the card. He'll not be there to be a filler and stuff. But he's not going to be, like, the guy anymore. So he's kind of like, you know what? If I'm there, I'm there. If that kind of mentality doesn't get me excited, it'd be cool to see him again because he's a good in-ring worker. But I think there's way more possibilities with Bray Wyatt at the end of the day.
Look, with Randy Orton, you know what you're going to get. Bray Wyatt, his push is just simply unstable. I just don't believe that this is going to happen. And you mentioned that at WrestleMania, Bray Wyatt got a huge pop. Friggin' everybody gets a huge pop at WrestleMania. Zack Ryder got a huge pop when he won, and look at where he's at. WrestleMania is filled with people who've been wanting to see the show for their entire lives, coming from all over the world. When it's all said and done, what matters is what's going to happen on a week-to-week basis, and I simply do not think that Bray Wyatt's momentum will carry on through then. I think when he comes back, he's going to get a nice push, but with John Cena coming back and Randy Orton coming back, he's just going to get shoved down the card again. I know I sound depressing. I know that I sound cynical, but this is just the way this is just the way I am. This is the way that the WWE has made me. Don't hurt yourself, people. Don't kid yourself. Let it go.
All right, so for last point, I just want to set up a feud for them when they come back. Like, right when they come back, knowing what you know about who's set up in feuds right now, where. Give me the ideal feud for Bray Wyatt and not Kevin Owens, Randy Orton coming back.
I think, okay, you want me to go first or you want David to go first?
Go first, David. You just talked.
Okay, me?
Hey, you just messed me up because Kevin Owens was what I was thinking of.
I'll let you go, David. Sorry. Go ahead.
I was thinking Kevin Owens and Randy Orton would be a fantastic feud. It's something that I would rather save for SummerSlam. It has that marquee matchup feel. Both of them have similar brawling styles. Randy Orton does an incredible job when it comes to street fights. He has many good ones, and I think Kevin Owens would be really good at that too. I think that they could have a pretty long feud lasting through about 2 or 3 pay-per-views, and I think all the matches would be great. Kevin Owens has obviously proved that he's a great wrestler, and Randy Orton, nothing needs to be really said about him. So the two of them would match together very well, not to mention the promos. I think that more so in Kevin Owens' case, he could come out with some really good promos, and I think he can mock Randy Orton a little bit about his stoic attitude. I think it would be interesting to see how they play off of each other, because really they're two completely different types of people. If Randy Orton comes back with the same gimmick, then yeah, they're pretty much two different types of people, so I think that would be best for both parties. Very interesting. Where with Kevin Owens getting the rub against a main eventer, you know, maybe even getting a win here and there in the feud lasting for a couple of pay-per-views, I think it'll elevate his status, and he's just going to having a match, a great match with a top guy is going to boost his it's going to boost his stock within the company. It's going to make him look really good in front of the fans. People already like him, but you got to remember, just because he's popular, you know, with a certain sector doesn't mean he's popular worldwide. I think that if he gets into a mainstream feud with somebody as good as Orton, he's going to get a good rub off of him. But yeah, Orton, he's going to make that match amazing. Kevin Owens will be there for the promos, and Orton is really going to be the star of that match, in my opinion. But that would be my favorite feud.
What I would do is something I've been thinking about for, like, years now. But since they were kind of turning him face with the thing with Roman on Raw before he got injured, I think the best idea would be to have him feud with Triple H and bring down the Authority at the end of the day. Because what's Bray Wyatt's mantra been since day one? It's against the machine, against the man's powers that be. So what if Bray Wyatt actually put that into practice and took out Triple H, maybe at SummerSlam? Or even if you could, because I think Seth Rollins is going to come back and tease be a babyface, like team with Roman and do an Authority thing continually with Shane and Stephanie or whatever. It's all going to play all together, but I think Seth Rollins is going to turn on Roman again because they don't want Seth Rollins to be a big babyface in comparison to Roman Reigns, so they have to turn him heel. So Seth Rollins is back on Team Authority. Why don't we lead to a Survivor Series match where it's Team Wyatt Family versus Team Authority? But I'm thinking more Triple H at SummerSlam because they've been teasing that match for a bit now. Royal Rumble, they've had a confrontation. Like, they've had these little mini confrontations where they tease Triple H and Bray Wyatt because And why the fans are so intrigued by that is because Bray Wyatt's always been, like, against the machine. And, like, so to speak, and Triple H is a good worker. Bray Wyatt's a good worker. I think they'd make – actually, I think their styles would mesh up a little bit better than Roman Reigns and Triple H would have been. So I think that's probably the best way to go. Have Bray Wyatt, if you want to give him that big rub, make him a big powerhouse where he doesn't have to win a championship or anything like that, have him be the guy who brings down the authority. People love – he'll be a great face with Bray Wyatt. That'd be a nice little capstone to the – how many years has the authority thing been going on since 2013? Be a nice way to end it here now. Have Shane be in power. Have Shane be Bray Wyatt, Shane's guy. Then have – you can eat – yeah, there's like a lot of things you can tune with this feud. But Bray Wyatt, I think you should focus in fighting the machine. That's what I would do with Bray Wyatt.
Oh, my God. That match would be dreadful, too, both with a methodical style. Be like Roman Reigns and Triple H all over again.
I don't think it would be. I think it would be better than Roman Reigns and Triple H. I think Bray has just a unique style that you kind of see from Nakamura because he's based on Nakamura. He bases his style on Nakamura where he has these little mannerisms. He knows how to play the crowd, and so does Triple H. I think they would match a little bit better. Roman doesn't know how to play the crowd, so to speak. I think or he's trying to avoid that because they're getting...
He does in his own unique way.
No, he tries, but it gets a negative reaction, so it kind of avoids, like, oh, hey, guys.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, but Bray Wyatt, he knows how to play the crowd. Fans genuinely like Bray Wyatt, and and that would be a difference where they wouldn't be cheering Triple H. They'd be cheering Bray Wyatt, actually. It'd be a nice little switch, change of pace, and a way to do it. Will they do that? I don't know, but I'd like to see it. So, yeah, that's what I would do.
All right. Now this off, and I think based off of what I've heard, see, I was really close with the Bray Wyatt argument, but the thing that really got me was right at the beginning when David was talking about, well, they've done like these little mini pushes and then let them fall back down, done these little mini pushes and then let them fall back down. I think that's kind of what took it here, because then from there you talked again about like giving him another push, and I feel like, well, yes, he does deserve to get pushed here. I don't think we got enough information, honestly, on why this is going to be the push that works. And the WrestleMania points even brought that up about like how this is all kind of stemming out of WrestleMania, where we have a whole bunch of people there who are going to pop for just about anybody. So I think I'm going to go with the Randy Orton argument on this one.
And that's okay, but can I make
excellent
a quick point
choice.
There real quick?
Yep.
I just wanted to get clarity. You said anticipated coming back. I was focusing more on the short term, but that's what it is. I'm not too hard pressed on losing that one.
No, I think that was a very interesting. I thought that was a lot of fun, and that'll bring us into round two with David up 1-0 right now. So we just finished the NFL draft a couple of weeks ago. If you were starting a new wrestling promotion and you got to draft one superstar as they are right now from the WWE to be your number one overall draft pick, who would you draft?
Oh, this is a good one.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that. Do they come with the history with it or just their character?
They come as they are right now.
With the history, like for example, like Lex Luger had the history with WWE before he went to WCW, or just
you get their character.
But you don't get
they're going to be just as talented, and they're going to be their same character. You'll get their same character or their same skills to be a character. I guess if you wanted to change their character, you could.
I already know who I'm choosing.
All right.
Then go ahead and say it.
I'm going to get a lot of heat for this, but I know exactly what I could do. I would choose Roman Reigns on the spot. And I will tell you why.
I'll probably think on it. I need to think on it. So, David, yeah, go ahead and mention your point.
Everybody that's listening to this, what the hell is wrong with you choosing Roman Reigns, and don't you not like that guy? That's exactly the point. I think wrestling needs a new bad guy. They're always looking for the next big thing. But when you look at the history of storytelling, even modern storytelling, there's always a good bad guy. You look at people like the Joker. You look at people like Godzilla. You look at people like Darth Vader. People want to see a villain. In some cases, the villain is people's favorite parts. Look at sports stars like Cam Newton. He was so controversial at the Super Bowl. Look at people like Floyd Mayweather. He is the poster boy for boxing, and he's retired. He is still the most popular guy. He's the only one that people are talking about. Oh, this guy's going to be in another boxing match. And he hasn't even said that he's coming back. A villain is one of the most important parts. If anything, it's the most important part of entertainment. If you don't have an obstacle then people aren't going to care about your hero. And that is exactly the problem with wrestling today. Roman Reigns, in my opinion, is one of the hated, if not the most hated active wrestler in the world right now. And why not capitalize on that? The guy could stay, and if since I'm getting him exactly the way he is right now, I think that's perfect. With his lack of mic skills and his in-ring work not being to the standard of other people like Sami Zayn or people like Nakamura, I think that's a perfect sell for him. Get him in a stable, align him with a general manager, and have this guy basically say, screw you all, I'm the top guy and I'm not even that good. So what? And he's a villain that you can actually have him, not, I wouldn't say be a coward, but have him be... Yes, a little bit. Have him be a little bit of a prize fighter. He doesn't always go out on free TV. If you want to see him fight, you got to go to a house show or you got to buy a pay-per-view. I need a bad guy who people hate. Not this BS stuff that they have these days where he's a sympathetic villain or he's a villain like, oh, he's so cool, I like him. Nah, we need a bad guy. And Roman Reigns is somebody that can get booed out of the building night in and night out. As long as I have an amazing villain, I can put almost anybody up to him and people will be clamoring. Can you imagine if I had Roman Reigns hold the title for as long as CM Punk did and have somebody go up against him? Oh my God, somebody has to beat him. And somebody finally beats him? That would be incredible. I could have freaking Tyson Kidd go up and win and he'd get one of the biggest pops of all time. So that's where I stand with that. I think he's an amazing villain, especially if you put him with a stable with a bunch of suits.
I think I have my answer, and I think I'm picking this person because I want someone who's more adaptable. I think David's looking too far into just making one giant heel. I'm thinking of someone who'd be able to work every aspect of the card, even the main event, and someone who could play both sides. And I think I'm going with Sasha Banks as my pick. I think because I think WWE's big flaw right now is they're like waiting on Sasha Banks or they're underutilizing her. I can't tell the difference anymore because WrestleMania should have been her moment. They didn't let her have it. So you know what? Come over to me. I'll give you an opportunity where you could be the main event like she was in NXT. She could be a great bad guy, a great baby face at the same time. She can work every aspect of the card and put on a good match with pretty much anybody. And I think you can throw a man in there. I don't care. You could throw – just make an all-wrestling company. I don't care. I think Sasha Banks is someone you put a company behind because she has that it factor. I was tossing around maybe Kevin Owens, but I think Sasha Banks has just a little bit more to her because I don't think Kevin Owens works as a baby face. Sasha Banks does, and it's like rare where you get that nice where she can play both equally as perfect, because CM Punk is a way better bad guy than he is a good guy, and like all these aspects, like I think that's where I would go with Sasha Banks for her accessibility.
And as for Roman Reigns, I think the word you're looking for there was versatility.
Versatility, thank you. And to knock down David's point, I think Roman Reigns is too much of a bad guy. I think Roman Reigns is not in the position where you think he's like, oh, people loved it. I think he has X-Pac heat, seriously. Where people just don't want to see the guy, because it's not so much him, it's so much the people pushing him, and if you're going to continue pushing him, they're going to hate you, and they're not really going to hate them. I think people's hate towards Roman Reigns is towards Vince, and not so much Reigns, and I think basing your whole company around that aspect of one guy, isn't something that's going to sustain for a long period of time, so Sasha Banks has more staying power when you could do with something like that. So David, yeah, go ahead. David.
Mm-hmm.
David, are you there? Are you muted?
David.
All right. Oh my God, I've been talking for so long. I'm sorry, but yeah, I'm not Vince McMahon, so some of this stuff doesn't apply to me. It's going to be a completely different company. So with Roman Reigns, and like Duke said, you know, all of his talent is going to stay exactly the same. I think it's perfect that he's not really that good on the mic, but when it comes to his in-ring work, the guy has proven that he can have main event matches. Look at the last main event match he had. Yeah, it was a bit of a clusterfuck. But the match was really damn good with AJ Styles. You put him with a good amount of people, and you put him with people that we want to see beat him. It's going to be a great thing. The matches are going to have – can you imagine? Just imagine Philadelphia, whatever arena is there in Philadelphia. We have Roman Reigns, and I have somebody like, you know – I mean, since it's a draft, I'm going to pick some other people. Let's say it's Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins. You know how amazing that match would be at my biggest pay-per-view of the year, and Seth Rollins finally topples – Roman Reigns, keep him with his mic skills as it is today, and he could be a complete dork, but he's still at the top of the card. He's being pushed everywhere. He's got interviews. He's going out in Gucci belts, suits, beautiful women around him. I could do so many things with him, and eventually people will start to like him. He's going to be so dorky, you can't help but like him.
I don't think so entirely.
I'd book him like Mike Tyson.
No, I think if Roman Reigns was a mid-card right now, no one would give a fuck. I mean, they would actually like the guy, they'd be behind him, but since he's being pushed so quickly and so hard where he can't lose a match clean or he takes one spear to beat one guy, I think that's a bigger problem. I think that's more of the company. So what you're taking from Roman Reigns is you're going to book him kind of correctly, and that's going to go against what you're trying to do, so to speak, where you're trying to make this big bad guy baby. I don't get, and plus, once he loses, it's pretty much going to be done. It's going to be a done deal. With Sasha Banks, she could lose a match, she could win a match. There's like so many things you could do. There's more to Sasha Banks at the end of the day. Like, she could be Intercontinental Champion, she could be a Women's Champion. You could have her be in these long-winded feuds and just build it up. She could be a face, baby face. Like, there's so much you could do with Roman Reigns. You're only like shoehorned to one thing, really. And I think having your whole company based on that just one thing isn't a good mantra. I think that's why WWE's in the way it is. If they had maybe like a Seth Rollins or a Dean Ambrose and like guys surrounding, like having a title ring like AJ Styles here and there, and not just be so gung-ho on one guy and make the other guys book well, because Seth Rollins wasn't booked well at all. But if you book them correctly and stuff, Roman Reigns would not be in the position where he's getting like booed out of WrestleMania, having people cheer Triple H over him. I think it's just, I don't know what you're expecting out of this. Sasha Banks, I think, is just a stronger worker. She's a better wrestler, I think, other than that. And she's a better storyteller. She's a great champion. She's a great underdog fighting for a championship, proven at WrestleMania when she was fighting, which she should have won, but whatever. I think Sasha Banks is just, we have only like tapped the bare bones surface of Sasha Banks. I would like to just unlock her potential and just see what the fuck she can do, because I know she has more in her, and she's already great as it is, but think how amazing she would be if I just unlocked her potential. I think Sasha Banks is just a winner here.
And you have just fallen into my trap card.
Oh boy!
I hate to pull this one. I don't necessarily like this card, but it is the way the world is. There are certain countries that the WWE go to where they are not allowed to feature women. So if I go, I have no idea why they go to Saudi. I think it's Saudi Arabia, or it's either Saudi, it's some Arabic country. But you
this
can't.
This is David with the racist
you.
Hour.
No, you can't bring the women with you to certain countries at the WWE. And if she's a top, if she's my top character, then what do I look like if I don't have my top character with me? It's not me. It's not her. It's just the way the world is. People are assholes, and some countries aren't ready to see a woman be the top person yet. I would like to see it happen one day, but as of right now, I don't think that's exactly feasible. And even so, even if I got my way, I think that Roman Reigns is just simply more marketable. Sasha Banks is going to eventually be a face, but her potential as a face isn't really as big as Roman Reigns as a heel. Roman Reigns as a heel, booked like Floyd Mayweather, would be fantastic. He has a look. He'll have the mainstream acceptance. People will be like, oh my God, I've got to see what this guy is about. Everybody's saying they hate him, and that's just going to be TV. If I tell him to be like Kanye West and say something stupid to a TMZ interview, it's going to be fantastic, especially if he looks like a jackass. It will be, people, you don't know
that,
what you're missing.
Wait, hold on. You're also putting a reflection on your company as well, where you're having a guy actively be dumb and people are like, what is this guy for real? Like, he's just a bad look for your company too. With Sasha Banks,
this is the modern era.
And plus, with Sasha Banks, though, I think as a babyface, she's great. As a heel, she's great. You can play both sides of it. With Roman Reigns, you can only really do heel at this point in time with the way you're going about it. And I don't think that's.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
And you say, hold on. I want to attack the point you made about saying she's not, like, marketable. She is insanely marketable, depending on what
you do. I never said she wasn't marketable. I just said certain countries, you're not going to be really... America and in places like England and stuff, those are really the only places you can do with her, because when they go to friggin' places, I have no idea why they go there, but when they go to friggin' Saudi Arabia, man, that's going to be it. I'm going to sound like a jackass, as I know it can't
be.
Yeah,
you need to stop. I'm going to let you stop there. But what I'm saying is, like, she is marketable. You can even play up the fact that...
it's Saudi Arabia.
You can play up the fact that she's cousin with Snoop Dogg. You can do all these things where she's just this really chill person who does
it's
these...
2016! Who gives a fuck?
Everyone
Snoop
loves
Dogg's
Snoop.
Cousin?
Everybody loves Snoop, okay?
That would be so trashy. His cousin? Oh my God, that would ruin her.
I'm not saying...
I'm her cousin. That's what the situation we're in with Roman Reigns right now. I'm his cousin.
No, I'm not saying you can make the whole character. You can just play that up here and there. Have him do like he did at WrestleMania. Play entrances. Gives her a little bit mainstream appeal, so to speak. And then you do all these things. Like, you could have her do her tweet thing, because she has that character where you could just be like, she is the boss, and people will, like, gravitas to that. That's why people like Kim Kardashian. I'm not saying you have to book her where she has to make a sex tape and do all this bullshit Kim Kardashian does. But you can have that kind of type where she gets that mainstream appeal. Like, people will want to see Sasha Banks if you put a spotlight on her. And I'd want to put a spotlight on her. With Roman Reigns, people would like to see the spotlight dimmed a little bit, is my point. So, boom. That's my final thought, Duke.
Only because he's BS and they don't want to see him as a good guy. Telling right. you, man. Floyd Mayweather of my company. Kanye West.
That's only good for so long, though. All right. Boom. I'm done.
Finally. All right.
Well, David, I think the thing that we really need, that you really need to attack there in order to get this point, but I think you really need to attack how feasible is it to really draw like a sizable crowd with a woman as your top person. And I know that's kind of a sexist thing to say, but like
I didn't want to fully go into it.
Yeah, I think that was something where really that was the thing that really would have put it over the top. Because as soon as he said Sasha Banks, that's what I was thinking. And I know it's kind of sexist to like kind of. Kind of put that out there. But I think that's where you need to go with it in order to really kind of secure the point there. And since you didn't, I think I'm going to have to go with Justin because I think you made a few sounder arguments about how long is Roman Reigns this gimmick that you want to put him with going to work and all these various little pieces like that. I'm not entirely sure that Justin is wrong there, so I'm going to go with Sasha Banks on this one.
See, this is where my morals get me.
Yeah, see, yeah. I thought you had it won at first when he picked Sasha Banks. But your morals kind of kept you from getting the point there.
And I think it's at the point where you... Whatever, I'm not going to go into it. This is not the show to go into it, but yeah.
Damn social justice warriors. This is why I can't choose your side.
Okay. So, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn have been intertwined in a feud for a lot of time on WWE television. And with the emphasis put on this feud, if they were to have a one-on-one match at Extreme Rules, which we know they're not going to, what stipulation would you give their match?
Ladder match.
Oh, can you ladder repeat match. That again?
If you were to give Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens a one-on-one match on this pay-per-view, what would the Extreme Rules stipulation be?
I said ladder match. Just letting you know that.
Isn't Extreme Rules, you can do pretty much anything, right?
Pick a stipulation match, though.
Oh, at Extreme. I'm sorry. I thought you meant the match is Extreme Rules.
What no, the stipulation? It's at the pay-per-view.
Okay, these damn pay-per-view names. You got a friggin' match called Extreme Rules, and you got a pay-per-view called Extreme Rules. All right. Yeah. Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens. Stipulation. I would choose. I'll be honest. I've been out of the loop. Have they had a match already?
Yeah. Payback.
Yes.
It was a one-on-one okay. match.
And it was a normal match, right?
Yeah, totally normal.
Yep.
How about, I'd say that they need to have three matches, but since this is only about Extreme Rules, say the second match that they should have is, it has to be obviously no disqualifications. I'm leaning towards, the one I want to choose, you can't do it anymore. And I assume you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Am I in a perfect world scenario, or I have to abide by rules?
No, you can do whatever you want, David.
You can do whatever you want. Just give it a stipulation.
Oh, my God. I have it perfectly set up.
Say it, David.
I want a first blood match.
Okay.
And I know exactly what I would do. Kevin Owens is somebody who's willing to do anything to stop. And this is the way I would set up the feud. So the Authority, they got this whole thing going on. Sami Zayn, we're going to give him a nice push, right? Sami Zayn, I would alter his look a little bit. I would have him be a little bit more. He's somebody that I could market towards kids. I would have him be a little bit more colorful, a little bit bright. And the guy, it wouldn't kill him to have some type of personality. I don't know. He's got to increase his. He can't go out there doing the whole "I'm a nice person, so you have to cheer for me" deal. But yeah, I'd make him look a little bit more like a superhero. And this is where I'm going with this. Kevin Owens cuts a promo saying he's with the Authority now. He's alone. He is now a hitman for the Authority. So anybody that comes in the path of the Authority, they send Kevin Owens in to take him out. So Kevin Owens cuts a promo saying that there is no such thing as heroes anymore, and that this Sami Zayn thing, him having a dream of taking down the Authority and making the WWE a more fair place, is just nothing but a pipe dream. And that Kevin Owens represents the realistic thing, the real thing that's going to happen to America. And you can play off the whole, since WWE, this is just something right up their alley. Pull a Trump reference, have him be pro-Trump or something, because this is something that he would obviously want to do. This is something that Vince would definitely approve of, well, other than the first blood match. But yeah, have Kevin Owens say, I know people are going to hate this, but I would love it. Have Kevin Owens tell Sammy, tell me, do you bleed? a nice reference to a superhero movie, and then we already have somebody that kind of looks like one. I'm not saying he has to come out in a mask, but update his attire a bit, because he kind of looks like a regular person. So Sami Zayn will be a representation of chasing your dream, and Kevin Owens will be the roadblock in the way. So they decide to have a first blood match, because Kevin Owens wants to beat Sami Zayn so badly, he wants to show him the world. He wants to show him what the world truly is for itself. It's not a happy rainbow place. The world is terrible and it will crush you. So Kevin Owens is going to go in there and they're going to have a brutal match. They're going to do all types of crazy spots. And you can go into their history on the independent circuit. Maybe we can put some type of, I don't really know much of their history together. But I guess you could put up a little bit of a facade. Maybe say that they were pretty decent friends, and then Sami Zayn was always the one that people were paying attention to, and Kevin Owens was the one that people didn't really care for because he was kind of fat, you know, he had a big beard. Nobody was really interested in him, so he became jealous of him. There's parallels to, I know this is a little bit too deep for people, but at least you have a nice parallel to something like, Jesus and the devil, where Lucifer was jealous of Jesus. You know, you have a little bit of that parable. You have a little bit of that a theme there. So we finally have a first blood match, and it is off the hook because these two guys can work together. They've got the history, and let's see. I would say Sami Zayn wins this one. He beats Kevin Owens, he makes him bleed, and his character changes a little bit. We see a little bit more of complexity in him, and I think during the match he should be a little bit hesitant to go crazy. Kevin Owens just wants to do everything, but Sami Zayn has a bit of sympathy, but finally he gives in. You do a whole Return of the Jedi thing where Luke wants to fight, doesn't really want to fight Vader, but he has to, cuts off his hand. Well, obviously we can't have somebody's limb be cut off here, but, you know, you follow that whole deal. Draw upon other sources of fiction and apply that to the wrestling world. That's where I would go with that.
All right, mine isn't as bloated a storytelling as David is. Mine's very simplistic in nature, and it's pretty much playing off the story they have established so far, which kind of gives me an advantage on David, because I think David's just going off what, because he hasn't been, like, full on with it. But I think what I'm going to do with a lot of matches is perfect, because think about how this feud kind of, like, started on the main roster. It started with Sami Zayn costing Kevin Owens a ladder match for the IC title. But let's up the stakes a little bit, shall we? It's for a contract for the number one contender spot at the next pay-per-view, whatever that, I don't know what the next pay-per-view is after Extreme Rules. But yeah, and this kind of, the ladder match plays into the story so
well. Money in the Bank.
It's Money in the Bank? Well, perfect. It's a lead-in. It plays in perfect because what's the whole story going in? Like, they played up really well in those video packages before the match and, like, whatever. How Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn both said they're both trying to be out, like, out-climb the top of the mountain first, trying to get on top first. They're always trying to outdo each other. Why not put them in a ladder match one-on-one? And plus, this is a nice little fan for, like, a nice little spot for, like, some of the people who don't watch the indies can get behind because they want to see a great ladder match between the two, which they can do. And plus, it'll be a nice little nod to those who like the indie stuff with El Generico versus Kevin Steen back in the indies, where they had these phenomenal ladder matches and stuff where they know they can do it. It'd be a nice little full circle thing that you don't have to watch the indies to get the story. And it's something for the indie fans, like, man, this is a nice little tie-in, too. It's playing on both worlds, a very simplistic story, like, who's going to be the first to climb the mountain and get the contract for the number one contender spot. It's going to be the definitive end of the story. And in my world, I think Kevin Owens has to win this match because, realistically, Sami Zayn should never beat Kevin Owens. So like Raven and Tommy Dreamer back in ECW, where like they had like 1,000 matches, and Tommy Dreamer never won until the very last time they ever fought in ECW. I think that's a nice little thing they could do. It's not the same story, but it's a nice little thing where he just can't beat the guy, and then, unlike the last time where you just don't think it's going to happen, he actually wins. But I think right here, Kevin Owens wins. He climbs the mountain first and gets a title shot. I would have him maybe win. That's for future booking. But I think, simplistically, I think it's better to go simplistic because these guys are already magic. You don't have to add all these complexities like, oh, the Trump, and make it like this and that, like a Jesus angle. You don't have to do that. Just make it just, I want to be better than you. I'm going to get there first is the thing. I like the little competition they have between the two and the friendship and everything. It just plays in. I think a lot of matches tells that story effectively.
Yawn, yawn, yawn. That's such old school wrestling. We need something a little bit different, especially since we are dealing with people who are going to be the future of the company. And you mentioned something about how these two are trying to climb their way to the top. Kevin Owens cheated to get to the top. He aligned with the authority. He's everything that Sami Zayn does not like about the WWE.
Are you talking about in your universe? Do you think that actually happened, or is that just in your universe?
in my universe.
Okay, yeah. Just making sure. Because I'm like, Kevin Owens is not part of the Authority from what I remember.
Yeah, what I booked, because I said that Kevin Owens would be a hitman, and that's what the way the feud would start.
Okay, okay. I was making sure it was in Kevin your universe.
Kevin Owens is doing this to feed his family. He doesn't care anything about morals. He's just in it for him. So they're both trying to climb the ladder, but Sami Zayn's way of doing it, he wants to do it the clean cut, and he wants his friend Kevin Owens has completely changed as what he used to be on the independent circuit. And Kevin Owens, you know, he only did it because people never cared about him. So he doesn't really care about doing the right thing anymore because you can't do that. That's not the way you get to the top. So that's the way I go about it.
I think yours is just way too convoluted with all these little things. When honestly, sometimes it'll be best when they're just keeping it simple. And like, I think there's a powerful.
How many times do I have to see that shit? Every single day. It's not really hard to keep up with.
There hasn't been a story like that in quite like the one I'm pitching in quite some time. It's usually a big convoluted plot. Like stuff with AJ Styles and Roman Reigns is more convoluted than it needed to be. And same with like the Triple H Roman Reigns one, a little more convoluted than it needed to be. Like it's cool to dial back a little bit and like give these guys characters and like. Where Sami Zayn's like, I'm going to beat you. And Kevin Owens like, I'm going to beat you in any way I can. Like, I'm going to be the first. These two guys are always just pitted against, the Joker used to say, we're destined to do this forever kind of a thing. It's just like, what drives them both is that they just want to be better than that one guy. Like, they want to get to the top, but man, they want to get there before this guy. It's that nice little race to the top. And that's why a ladder match is so thematically perfect for these two.
And what are they going to win a ladder match?
What?
What are they going to win a ladder match?
I told you, a number one contendership contract.
I think that Kevin Owens, I think this would be perfect for him. If he beats Sami Zayn, he gets, let's see. Nah, it wouldn't work that way. But yeah, I'm just going to stick with what I said before. Just imagine a video package where we have a picture of these two. And you could fake it, but they are, you know, they're arm around each other's shoulder. They're two buddies, you know. They're on the independent circuit. That was the old days. And now he is completely changed. Sami Zayn, if he wants to get rid of the Authority, he has to go through Kevin Owens. But he's not sure if he wants to do it. He has to make him bleed. A person that he really cared about, that's compelling TV. Not the same stuff you've been seeing over and over again.
All right, so I've heard a lot about, like, the stories going into the match. Can you lay out, like, a little bit of your match and maybe, like, a couple of nice spots, that kind of stuff? Really go into, like, what's going to make your match work.
And we're allowed
as
to do
match,
fantasy, right?
Not necessarily in the story.
We're allowed to do fantasy, not what they actually will do in the match, correct?
Correct.
Like if they were to actually happen. Okay, just making sure. David, you go first.
Why do I always have to go first?
Yeah, you forced yourself into going first this time around because it was supposed to be me, but you decided to go. But all right, I'll go ahead and do mine. I think most of the time it's just going to be some good old natural flatter spots where Sami Zayn will do some dives, Kevin Owens will actually do some impact into ladders. Like, the big spot, I'm going to save the big spot. I don't talk about the storytelling more so right now. Where it's just, they're both have these big, long match where they're just trying to climb. And, like, Sami Zayn's scratching and clawing up the top of the ladder. And Kevin Owens just stops and pulls him down. And then the big spot of the match is going to be a package pile driver onto a ladder. Like they did on the indie scene. A nice little throwback reference. And plus it's like, oh my god, he just killed Sami Zayn. He climbs the ladder, thwarts Sami Zayn again. He's the first to get that number one contender spot over Sami Zayn. Perfect way to end this feud for now. Maybe come back to it later, but just to corner cap it off for this particular one, good way to finish it. Just I picture more like so there's going to be typical ladder spots that you see a lot, which everyone loves the ladder matches, so what can I say? They're usually great when you book them correctly. But I think the big thing is just watching both men crawl, trying to out one, and they just get stopped midway through because the whole story is getting to the top first, and they're just stopping it. Every time they think they have it, they don't, and they just knock them down. That's how I'd book the match. Simplistically.
Okay, my match. We are going to have a lot of teasing going on in this match. Like I said before, I would have Sami Zayn win this one because I want to get his character from being the I'm a good guy, so you have to cheer for me. There's something a little bit more complex. I see some potential in this guy, and I don't want him to fall into the same trap that so many other people have where they don't really have a character. So we're going to give him a little bit of an edge here. So some of the spots in this match, really, it's about Sami Zayn. He doesn't want to fully go with it. If you can imagine a match like this, it's like Shawn Michaels versus Ric Flair, where Shawn, he respected Ric Flair so much. He wanted to win the match, but he really didn't want to do it to Ric Flair because he respected him so much. A little bit of the same thing here, but it's more so Sami Zayn views Kevin Owens is it's still his best friend that was on an independent circuit, and he doesn't want to bring it this far, but he's got to do it. So we've got some spots here where Kevin Owens, obviously, with the WWE, they don't really do pile drivers, so I don't think I could have that. I don't think I could have that going through a ladder. But what I do have is a barbed wire, the bat with the barbed wire and all that. And you got some spots where it's really something that goes all across the crowd. They get the monitors set up. They get the monitors. They start bashing each other with it. They get some chairs there. They get the kendo sticks and everything. But just a good old-fashioned brawl. But the whole story, it's really about the story. Sami Zayn cannot bring himself to cutting this guy. He can't bring himself to completely beating him to a pulp. It's not his style of fighting, and it's not really what he wants to do to Owens. But finally, he does it, and it's a damn mess. Owens is just bleeding. And Owens, I think, to top it all off, I think that the highlight of the match, it should be Owens laughing in a pool of blood.
All right. And with that, I'm going to make a decision here. All right. See, there's a few things here. Is I do think that David's had a more interesting story, but then I think Justin's makes more sense as it's set right now. I think I'm going to go with... I think I'm going to reward creativity and really pushing the boundary here and kind of giving us something different that we don't see a lot, because this is a very different feud. So I'm going to go with David.
Yes!
And it was very close, because I think Justin did tell, like, in his simplistic story, I thought he was telling that story very well. And really, it was a lot of interesting stuff, but I think between these two guys, it does need to be a little bit more. It needs to be a little bit more than simple, especially with all the history that we have here. And
I think David's story really doesn't make sense with Sami Zayn not wanting to butcher Kevin Owens, considering the fact they're always hockey fighting, and it seems like Sami Zayn's very forward doing that to Kevin Owens. But that's neither here nor there. It's his universe, I suppose. But that's my big right. I forgot. I was going to say that before he said
made your decision. The way that he pitched the story, I think it made sense.
Yeah, I was just going to say that before you made your final decision, but I let you do it, obviously, so yeah.
Yeah. I think that's where... Yeah, that's definitely where I'm going to go ahead and... That's where I'm going to go. With our next question, let's go ahead and put that one next. With it being summer coming up, we are going to be having hopefully, this big summer storyline. We usually get one. We had the Summer of Punk. You know, we had the Nexus before. And we've had all these different things that kind of, like, say, here comes the summer. And with college classes getting out here and multiple different other high schools and that kind of stuff pushing towards their last few weeks, I thought that would be a good time to go ahead and say, what would be your summer storyline for WWE for 2016?
You first, Justin.
I have to think of it first. It's whoever thinks of it first, David.
I'm tired of going first.
You know, well, don't think of it first. Let me think of it first. We can't have dead air, though, so I have to think.
Nah, I can feel it. While you guys are thinking, let me just take a quick second to remind you, if you happen to be listening to us on the computer and you want to listen to us on your phone, make sure that you go and subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, we're on Blog Talk Radio. There's all sorts of different ways that you can listen to us mobily. So if you're one of those people who likes to listen to podcasts in the car while you're driving, or maybe there's other way, or you like to listen to something while you run, all that different kind of stuff, make sure that you're checking us out, because we have a lot of different ways. And make sure that you check out PWF Empire Live. They have their own iTunes page. They are also on YouTube. You can find them at PWF Empire Live. And they go live every Tuesday around 8 o'clock, isn't it?
Yep. I'm ready if you're ready for me to go.
And they go live every Tuesday around 8 o'clock, so make sure you're checking them out as well. And obviously the Raw Review happens every day after every Monday after Raw, and it'll be up on our RSS feed on iTunes. That's PWTR, Pro Wrestling Talk Radio. All right, and Justin, why don't you go ahead and tell us what your answer is? All right,
fuck it. Shield versus Bullet Club.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go more in depth as soon as David gives me his.
like I said, I'm a guy that tries to push the boundaries. I'm a guy that is sick of the same old. I want to see some new types of stories being told. And this is something that's absolutely ridiculous, but I think we are finally ready for it. We may as well do it now because the guy's not going to be here forever, as much as he would like us to believe. He is mortal. I'm going balls out, Cena heel turn, and I will explain why afterwards.
All right.
Okay.
All right, mine. Should I attack Davis? I should just give out mine first, right? Okay, I'm just going to be on. Basically, it's kind of already, the pleas have been planted. I don't know if they're going to go that route, but it's definitely, you can see the workings. I think you should keep Finn Balor away from Bullet Club, have Finn Balor do something else, make it AJ Styles, Karl Anderson, and Luke Gallows, be actually called Bullet Club, get the rights from Japan somehow, make a Bullet Club, fantasy booking, right, Duke? I can do that. Your science is telling me yes. Bullet Club's actually Bullet Club, and then they're beating down Roman Reigns, and they're trying to get the world title. Dean Ambrose tries to come out and stop him, but there's three against two. You can't do that. And all of a sudden, Seth Rollins' music hits. That place, it just goes crazy because, oh my God, the thing we love the most from this era, the Shield, is reforming. Seth Rollins takes a chair. Instead of hitting Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose in the back, he hits the Bullet Club in the back with chairs. They reform. There has to be this nice little period before, because it's going to be a long-standing feud for the summer. There's going to be a point where Dean Ambrose is like, I don't trust the guy. I do not trust Seth Rollins because he did that. And there's going to be this nice little conflict between the two where you can't trust the guy because he backstabbed us. Why is he going to help us now? And Seth Rollins is like, dude, getting close to you guys will get me close to the title. He's like, I'm not using you guys, but we're going to be like, it's going to be a partnership. We're going to be the Shield. We're fighting injustice. And what Bullet Club is doing is injustice. And Roman Reigns is just the kind of guy who's like, you know what? I'm going to trust the guy. He helped us out of a tough spot. We need the numbers. Because Bullet Club's taking out the Usos. They're taking all these guys. Just the Shield has to come together once again to beat Bullet Club. And have Bullet Club like tear things down as they're squabbling. Like Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins are squabbling the entire time. And then you have like Bullet Club like destroy all these like little things like going on. Like just beat up Shane McMahon randomly. And you know what? Bullet Club beats up Triple H and Stephanie too. And it's just at the point where like Shield has to do something about this. And they just come together at SummerSlam 3v3. It's going to be the battle of the factions that the indie people love and the people that didn't be made with S.H.I.E.L.D. Just coming together, culminating in a big epic clash at SummerSlam. That's a SummerSlam. And SummerSlam and Summer Worthy Feud.
That's it.
That's it. You go ahead.
Same old.
No sell my shit.
No, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. You're fighting. It's good.
Look, man, we gotta do this. It's either now or never. If they don't do this thing now, it's probably never going to happen. Honestly, I don't think it'll happen. But in my perfect world, we already have somebody that can take over for Cena, and we have somebody who's just as marketable, and somebody that's actually gonna be liked. Seth Rollins, when he comes back, is going to be huge. He's gonna be a big time babyface. I think what we should do is we should have John Cena come back and Seth Rollins return the same night, and we should do a thing. You know what we should do? We should have them in a tag team match. Against, I don't know, any random heel team. And then Seth Rollins, he tags Cena, and they do the whole thing. Wait a minute, I wasn't ready to tag out yet. Seth Rollins takes the win, and John Cena and his first match back. Both of them both have their first match back, but it's not about John Cena. Everybody's like, yeah, Seth Rollins, great stuff. Cena finally has his one-on-one matches, and he's just been on a losing streak. He's been in a rut. He can't do the attitude adjustment. He came back too early from injury. So he's been on a losing streak. He finally wants to get a number one contendership match. He's in a triple threat. It's between Rollins, Cena, and I don't know, somebody else. Then the Authority, I'm going to keep the continuity in my shared universe, my shared wrestling universe. And we're going to have Kevin Owens, the Hitman, come in to screw Cena. Actually, no, never mind. Scratch that. Instead, it's just a triple threat match of Cena, Rollins, and some other guy. And then Rollins wins, so he's going to fight Roman Reigns at SummerSlam. And Cena, he doesn't have anything to do. He's screwed. And so basically, the Authority is in the shadows. They're saying, I can't believe it. We don't have anybody from our side that is going to represent us. It's just going to be Seth Rollins or Roman Reigns. So Cena has been on his losing streak. He's not confident in himself. He really wants it. Triple H is like, how bad do you want it? And he goes for it. Cena joins the Authority. He's the new champion. Roman Reigns. We can play in a little bit of real life thing. Triple H says, look, people don't like you. We want somebody that people are going to be able to like. At least you play into the real life thing. least kids like John Cena. Nobody likes you, Reigns. Seth Rollins, he won the match. He wins the match, but Cena. Actually, what I meant to do was Cena won the. I mean, Rollins won the match, but Cena comes out, and they do the whole thing where, wait a minute, I just had a match. What do you mean I have to fight somebody else? Cena wins, and that's his heel turn. And then you have it go on until WrestleMania, until somebody finally dethrones Cena. But Cena, basically, you start to see him change. He doesn't really like the place that he's gone to. He doesn't like how desperate he's gone to. He's an older man now. He's the moves that he does now. He can't really do the same stuff he used to do, but he's changing. He's more, I wouldn't say methodical, but he's a little bit more violent now when it comes to his matches, because this is the type of stuff he has to resort to now, and he fully accepts it after a while. Maybe at Royal Rumble, he puts somebody out that we really care about, and he's full-fledged heel.
At this point in time, I don't give a shit about a Cena heel turn. I think if fans, it'd be like shallowness at this point. 2 years ago, you pitched this? Cool. Now I'm like, eh, whatever. Cena could never go heel, and I'm cool with it. Who's a heel? Sure, whatever. It's not the big buzz thing as it could have been a couple years ago. I think it's just a little too late for it, so to speak. And I don't even think your story makes all that much sense, because I don't know who's champion at the end of the day. What's going on? I guess you said Rollins wins, and then Cena. Just a very convoluted story. I guess I get
at SummerSlam, Rollins won. At SummerSlam, Rollins beat Reigns, and then the Authority said, "You've got another match."
Okay,
and still, obviously he's tired.
It's still very convoluted. I get that Duke is kind of looking for creativity, which I'm not gonna like. My creative points is just the fact that it's Bullet Club, like Wrecking Shop, kind of Nexus style, but except not as sucky as Nexus, where they just beat people down. Like, you know what? They're just unstoppable force. AJ Styles is champ. It wants to be champion, but like. The Shield is
so
like 40.
Shield style, the Wrecking Shop.
Yeah, but it's...
That's what you were looking for there.
Yeah, I know, but I'm also thinking I want stuff like that's very, like, the first time Nexus Attack, you know, where it's just very raw looking. And it's just like it wasn't meant to happen that way. I just want that kind of feel with Bullet Club where they're just fucking dangerous. Just like Shield, I guess. And just like, they're like so, as you said, they're kind of similar because... And that similarity is going to help have them clash because it's cool to see two similar things. Just go at it and see where it goes. And I like the dynamic of, like, Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins just, like, not really trusting each other. Like, Seth Rollins is pissed that Dean's not trusting him, and Dean's just hates Seth Rollins for what he's done to him. And then at SummerSlam, I think you could go two ways. I would actually go the way where Shield just wins the match, and that's the end of the... Like, they just decide to go their own ways. And, like, Seth Rollins gets a title shot at Survivor Series. He's kind of an in-betweener, because I don't know if they want to go full-fledged face with him, because Roman Reigns, I think they want to keep Reigns that way. But I think, or you could go the way where Seth Rollins just does what Dean Ambrose thought it was and just betray them, and that pisses Dean Ambrose off against Roman Reigns for making them trust him for this big ordeal towards SummerSlam. Like, there's so many ways you could go about the story, and there's so many cogs. We've seen it turning heel, it's just like, do we need to see it at this point? I don't really care to. I don't know if many people, like, still... I mean, you remember 2 years ago being like, yeah, turn Cena heel, turn Cena heel. Now it's like, no, turn Cena heel. Like, a very small sect that no one cares anymore. So it's like, do something that people would care about. Like, the Shield people still care about that. They will not leave the memory of the Shield alone. But, and they like Bullet Club from the indie scene and really playing up the just dirty, raw feel of that and having it clash. And it's just going to be a lot of fun. There's, like, a lot of intrigue for the story, too, because there's so many cogs and things you could do with it. And there's, like, so many routes you can go, so many ways you can add character layers to Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, Bullet Club, add layers to them. There's character development, which is what WWE needs sorely most right now. Cena, you're developing a guy who's already been established at the end of the day. So, boom.
All the greats have done it. Austin, Hogan, you got to do it
do we mention you want to mention the Austin heel
it's
turn?
Something I'm telling you right now, man.
You want to mention the Austin heel turn
If SummerSlam went off the air with Cena turning heel, the internet would flip his shit. Just because it's been a long time doesn't mean... Look at Floyd Mayweather versus Manny Pacquiao. It took too long. And yeah, the aftermath of it was... I wish it could have been a little bit better. But we got the damn moment. We got the fight. And guess what? It's one of the highest grossing fights of all time. If anything, I think it might be the best selling fight of all time. That is going to be a huge moment. Especially if we build his character up to that point where he's not Superman anymore, where we have somebody who's so desperate to break Ric Flair's record, he has to go and sell himself out. Oh, come on. That's just compelling TV.
I don't know. I mean, it'd be a good for one moment. Baffer's like, oh, yeah, I guess Cena is heel. Like, it's
look at all the types of matches what we can have. John Cena as a heel? Good God.
I think just the time frame for that to work best is past. And I don't want to see something that's like, because I want to be, if you're going to turn Cena heel, I wanted to be excited about it. Like, I would have been 2 years ago or 3 years ago. Now it's just like, oh, Cena turned heel. I mean, it's cool, but it could. I just hate the idea that you waited too long to do it, so to speak. If you're
the
night
Cena betrayed the WWE universe.
I think you're looking way too. I don't think you're like the. I don't see the big clamoring for it. Bullet Club, there's way more to it than just Cena turning heel and like the Authority has a new guy or whatever.
And guess what? And guess what's going to happen? The Bullet Club, they're going to dissolve. What happens to all these stables? You get a guy in there who was pretty good, and they attach to that guy and they say, screw everybody else. Whereas Cena, we know he's going to get a friggin' push. When he comes back, it's pretty obvious he's due for a title run. We may as well make this fresh again. Let's make it fresh, because it's going to happen. You have to accept it, people. He's going to not only tie Ric Flair's record, but he may end up breaking the damn thing one day. So at least let's make these title reigns a little bit more bearable, something that's actually interesting. An interesting John Cena for once.
I don't think you have to turn heel to make him interesting, because last year he was interesting.
What else can he do?
He can do all
kinds
of stuff.
What's mainstream? Something that's going to grip people to come
in. I don't think
it's going to
be all that mainstream. I don't think people are going to be, like, back when Hogan did it, it was because most people thought wrestling was still real at the time. Now it wouldn't be as, and plus he was like, there was like a big rumor that he was working for WWE still. Like, that's what the NWO's purpose was, which people misconstrue as what the NWO was. That's why Hogan was so mainstream, because now in the day and age where everyone knows the wrestling's fake, it's going to be like, oh, there was like a nice little character turn. It's not going to be the big mainstream buzz you think it's going to be. And with S.H.I.E.L.D. and like Bullet Club, it's stuff about the hill now focusing towards the future. You build up Bullet Club, you build up the new S.H.I.E.L.D., you fill up Dynamics, you build character. I'm not saying you dissolve Bullet Club after SummerSlam, whether they win or lose. I think you make them all the more powerful if they lose, or they just keep going the streak if they were to win. And just like, there's stuff you could do where you don't have to dissolve them because they lose. That's not going to be the point. It's just going to be, who is the best faction of the modern era? And you just build it as that, and you just go with it. Because these are the two that have the most claim to that. So it's like, why not go with it? And I think that you have great matches out of it. You'd have great character development, and you'd get a great little story with it. So I'm like, it's a three wins, three. Not, I almost the opposite of three strikes, just a home run. I guess it's just three hits or whatever. Baseball references. It's a three pointer from Steph Curry, basically, is what the story is, and I think that's what we should go with.
And something that I forgot to mention at WrestleMania. I look for somebody interesting. I'm not sure if Zayn is quite ready yet for that moment. And Seth Rollins, I think that should be a slow burn. It depends on what the fans really want. But I would like to see Dolph Ziggler get a shot. I would like to see him topple John Cena at Mania. Heel Cena.
I have no other final point on that. I just think my story makes... It's just a better story at the end of the day. I think
people will watch the shit out of my story.
David's is just... like too little too late kind of a thing. So,
all right, well, I'll show my hands early. Justin's going to
Duke, you cut out. What do you say, Duke? David, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Duke.
Maybe we knew that.
Wait, Duke,
I think
what
one
say?
Of the things is, yeah, it is too little too late to just turn him full on heel. Yeah, at this point, I don't think anybody would have cared. And that's ultimately what ended up winning you the point, was I think that it is too... Hello?
Yeah, you keep cutting out.
Duke.
Hello?
Yeah, you keep cutting out.
Hello?
Duke.
Hello?
David, you
that's
there?
That's because he made the wrong decision. He should have chosen mine.
You ended up disagreeing with him.
Friggin' NSA was like, the hell with that, man. That's bullshit. You should have chose a heel turn, man.
What? Duke, you there?
You hear me?
Oh, sorry, just made it back. Sorry.
See, your internet service provider said, that's some bullshit, man. You should have chose a heel turn. You know how long I've been waiting for that?
Well, I think the point that... Did you get at least like the point that I said that got it?
No, you're cut up a lot. So just have to restate your point.
The point that I thought that got it was the whole... It's too little too late. I think that ultimately, immediately when I heard it, the first thing I was thinking was John Cena is already a heel, but Justin never said that, so I couldn't have used it. So I said that ultimately the thing where I would have started with that, like immediately thinking about it, was like that John Cena is already a heel. But like now, like since you didn't say it, I had to go off everything else, and I think you pitched a more interesting storyline, and I think you did a better job of cutting down that David's is too little too late, and that's not necessarily what we want to see right now. It was what we wanted to see a while back. Meanwhile, this would give us a way to elevate a whole bunch of younger stars, and I think it was a better pitch.
All right, so it's 2-2.
All right, going into the last question. This is for all the marbles.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a bullshit.
In Western Conference Finals 2000.
Speaking of all the marbles, or all the marvels for that matter, Captain America Civil War just came out. And between two and with two superheroes on each side, I was wondering if you were to cast Captain America Civil War with WWE wrestlers, who would be your Captain America and who would be your Iron Man?
Is there a team with or just the two captains?
You know, my first...
What?
Is it with a team or is it just the two captains?
I want the two captains, and then we can expand into... Yeah, let's just leave team out of it, because then that's 12 names that you have to kind of get an argument for every single person.
Well, what if we cut
it
down to...
For the sake of time, let's go two captains.
Okay.
I was hoping you would ask this, because actually I was thinking of my summer storyline being a civil war, but like between two stables for control of the company. But yeah, this is definitely an interesting one.
The thing is, you have to find... I'm not going to say Shane to Stephanie, because that's fucking stupid, so... John Cena, Roman Reigns.
Okay, John Cena and Roman Reigns for Justin. Who is who?
Cena's obviously Captain America, so...
Okay, and that obviously means Roman Reigns is your Iron Man?
Yep.
Okay.
And this is going to be a SummerSlam or WrestleMania or something?
This is going to be for SummerSlam.
It's going to be at the pay-per-view Civil War, David.
Yeah, that would be a great name. Hey, WWE should capitalize on that. They should do that. But they had something like that, bragging rights. And they arguably did that with Nexus versus Team WWE.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. This is a good one. I'm gonna go spread a big pay per view. Okay. All right. I'm gonna go with Undertaker versus Kane. I'm kidding.
Oh, you fucking with me.
Actually, Team Undertaker versus Team Cena.
Undertaker and Cena, all right, who's who?
Undertaker is... Undertaker is Team Captain America and Iron Man is Cena.
Okay.
This Iron Man was a little bitch in that movie, okay? So he'd go for the government.
No spoilers.
That's the poster. That's in the trailer.
Spoilers.
Okay.
How should we frame this? How should we frame this fight?
All right. Justin, and go.
How should we frame this fight, though?
Attack, whether... Frame it like the rest of them. What do you mean?
Okay. I don't know what you mean by which is who, but whatever. I think Cena being Captain America fits more than him feeding... being Robert Downey Jr. Iron Man, same thing. But just because I think Cena is just more of that guy who's like, like last year when he was against the Authority, it's like the same thing where the government's like, we're going to do this. And Cena's like, nah, man, that ain't right. I'm not going to like have Dolph Ziggler get punished for something like that. He's like, he's going to stand up for what's right at the end of the day and what he believes in. And with Roman Reigns, see, I hate this question because it makes no fucking sense in context. So, but I think with why I picked Roman Reigns is because I wanted a guy who is the next babyface, so to speak, and I wanted the two top guys of the era having a clash. That's why I picked the two guys, and I think Roman Reigns is good enough to be a guy who's like, okay, if like Shane's in power and like Cena's like, dude, he's just gonna be like the Authority, he's gonna have his own agenda, so to speak. Roman's like, nah, man, at least this agenda is gonna benefit us and not gonna be like downplaying the middle guy. They're gonna have ideological clash, so to speak, and then it leads to a fight. I don't know how else to frame this, so I pass it on to David.
So basically, I've got a team of misfits. Undertaker is going to have people like Bray Wyatt, basically broken people, but people that are pretty crazy. Maybe Dean Ambrose might be Team Undertaker. But yeah, basically, if you do John Cena versus Roman Reigns, people are going to boo the shit out of that match. You may have some people, they'll try to sweeten the thing up because they'll have people like Nakamura come in there. They may even call up Joe. They'll have people like, you know, your Dolph Ziggler's in there, and they'll have, you know, your Sami Zayn's in there, Kevin Owens. But that's going to come down to Randy Orton. I mean, that's going to come down to John Cena versus Roman Reigns. Who the fuck wants to see that? I mean, it'd be interesting. The only reason why I want to see that match is because I want to see how loud the boos can get. I want to see if they can cave in the building ceiling. I want to see if they can destroy the arena. But yeah, people are going to shit on that match. Team Undertaker versus John Cena. Look, if the Undertaker decides I'm not doing any more WrestleManias because he left his gloves in the ring, if we can only get him for one more match and I'm forced to have it be a team, it's going to be Team Cena versus Team Undertaker. And obviously, they're going to be the last two remaining. And it's going to be his ass on the line, his career. So if Team Undertaker loses, he's done. All comes down to him versus Cena, and you get your match.
I guess... I was just trying to focus it more on like how to compare it to Civil War, but if you want to look match-wise, I think you're really underestimating how how much gravitas a match between Cena and Reigns could be, because it's both two really established. I think you're underestimating the story they could tell there. I've taken all the Civil War stuff out of it. Just saying those two guys are going to have a match at SummerSlam or WrestleMania. Where they're just gonna like face off, and it's like who will win this, because it has the Golden Boy and the new Golden Boy going face to face, and it's like this big, like, who is gonna win? Which side are they really gonna go? Is like Vince gonna be fully behind Cena? Is he gonna be fully behind Reigns? Is Cena done? It's like, and there'll be this great little storytelling where it's like Cena's gonna be like, dude, I'm not ready to give up my spot yet. You have to go through me to get my spot, and Reigns like, bitch, I'll spear you through your spot. And it's like, oh, well, shit. This is going to be a clash of who is going to be the top guy. Is Cena's time, is this time up? Or is this time still now? So it's like a fun little thing you could do between the two. And I think you're underestimating the power that match could have, if booked correctly. And I think that's why they haven't pulled the trigger on it yet, because it'd be a great WrestleMania match. I don't know why they haven't done it. If they were going to make Reigns the guy, he has to go through Cena to get that spot. It only makes sense thematically.
Bro. You just booked Jar Jar Binks versus Count Dooku.
Did I?
People are going to boo the fuck out of that match. It's going to be to the point where people, they're going to be doing that whole ole, 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 ole chant. Those two are two combustible elements that you cannot combine together unless somebody radically changes. And more than likely, it would be probably Reigns who changes first other than Cena. And I don't see that happening because they're so damn stubborn. So that match to them as baby faces just does not work. People, it's obviously going to come down to teams. It's obviously going to come down. The only thing that would make sense, and people, I just don't think they want to see something like that unless somebody is already a heel. You can have somebody turn afterwards, but they're going to boo the shit out of it during the match, which is the most important thing. So, nah. Undertaker, if this is his last go, I want to see him fight Cena. If it's going to be a team, then no better way to go about it than this way.
I think I think
Reigns and Cena, that's a hot-ass mess.
I think, honestly, the hatred for Cena is a little bit dying down. It's still there, but at WrestleMania,
give him a few more main events.
I think the U.S. title open challenge has really opened people up to Cena a little bit. Like, okay, maybe we're a little harsh on the guy. He's not going to be the top guy anymore. But what if there's that idea of, like, I still want to be the top guy. I still have I want to beat Ric Flair. I want that record. And then Reigns is like, nah, this is my time, bitch. I'm going to spear you. Take your spot, and you're going to be on lower in the card. Enjoy it, old man. And, like, Cena's like, I'm not old. I'm still... Like, there's so much you could do with this story. And I think if you book it correctly, I think you're thinking that there's a boob, guess because the two guys aren't well-liked. But give them a good story. Fans are going to be like, dude, I fucking hate Reigns. Or they're like, I fucking hate Cena. And that clash of two fans going like, well, what the fuck do we choose? Because there's some guys who really think Cena's better than Reigns, and there's people who think Reigns is better than Cena.
Yeah, they're shooting themselves, because I hate both of these guys. And guess what? Guess where SummerSlam is going to be? It's going to be in my backyard. Friggin' New York City. You think they're going to like that? Oh, my goodness. It's going to be an old age.
Yeah, actually, I think Brooklyn is a big fan of wrestling and storytelling. So if you were to book a good story going in, like...
Yeah, people we like. You have somebody at the worst...
You are under the assumption that people like disrespect Reigns or Cena during their matches. I haven't seen and it's a, they might boo and say, let's go Cena, Cena sucks, or Reigns sucks, or let's go Reigns. They don't do the Ole chant during the match, because there's something about those two guys, as much as we complain about them, that they get the attention of the crowd. And
people love Randy Orton. They did that. They do that shit
but
all the time.
Don't like
but
they don't like Sheamus. But they don't like Sheamus.
They've done that to
thing.
Daniel Bryan. He's the most popular guy since Austin. They don't give a shit. I'm telling you, man, you put those combustible elements together and one of the hottest crowds in the world, and it is going to be a disaster.
I disagree. It's a disaster. I think it's going to be a nice little... This goes back. Wait, shut up. Let me go my ideological clash. It goes the ideology like, man, Cena's better than...
Hey, take points away from here, man. He can't abuse me like that. What the fuck,
you
man?
You don't sell me earlier. No, what I'm saying, it goes back to the Civil War component for framing. Like, two ideologies of the fans even come together. Like, there are fans out there who think Cena is better than Reigns. And there are people out there like, thank God Reigns is the new guy because I hate Cena. And these two fans coming together is like, well, fuck yeah, Reigns has got to win this. He's got to be the... Fuck Cena, his time's over. And there's people like, yeah, fuck Roman Reigns. Have Cena win. Like, it's going to be this nice little perfect combustible elements going. You think it's going to be negative? I think it's going to explode. It's going to be a great match to see because there is that thought of, like, who will win? Who will Vince choose? And that's just a fun little component of the match. I think you're sleeping on it. I think you're being a little harsh on it. I think there's so many good potential with it. It goes to mine is just the best all-around pick. With Taker, I have to knock that down a little bit because this is the debate. I don't think Taker fits the role you think he does, where it's like a misfits with Captain America. It doesn't fit the role at all. And the story is like, it'll be a nice little one-off match, but that doesn't have the gravitas or impact that Cena, especially if you were doing it at WrestleMania because he doesn't have the streak anymore. It doesn't have the same gravitas as Cena versus Reigns, who the battle for the guy. And it's just like, there's more to it than that. And that's where I'm...
Okay, two people I hate.
That you personally hate.
Hold on here. Okay. It will be the exact thing that people hate about WWE the most. Two handcrafted people that everyone hates are going against each other for the right to be the person that is at the top of the company. So either way, we lose. What more of a reason do we need for us to boo both of these people and tell the WWE to suck? To tell the WWE to piss off. That is the worst possible way to go about it.
I don't think it is. I think it's the best way to go because it's that. It's just that big question mark that people love. The big question mark was why Shane versus Taker was so impactful at WrestleMania is because there was a huge question mark. Well, does Shane win this or does... Because Shane has to win, right? No, but Taker has to win. Like, there's these... That's a great thing with fans that just buys tickets where people are just like, I don't know the ending. It's so unpredictable. And it just hits you in the head like that. I think... That's the fun of wrestling sometimes, is just being unpredictable. Like, Taker or Cena, it's more predictable than mine is. Mine is just, there's so much going on. There's backstory, there's fan intrigue, there's, like, story thing, the backstage thing. There's so many things going on. I think it's the best way you go. And that's my final point, because I am out of breath.
You are kidding yourself if you don't think, because this is what Randy Orton and John Cena in a dream world would be like. It's going to be the exact same thing. People are going to crap on it. Think of the type of matches those two would work together. You thought Triple H and Roman Reigns was bad? What type of matches is Cena going to work with this guy? Cena's a great wrestler and all. But you can't... Suck. Some people, no matter how good they are just not going to put somebody... They don't work. Not work. And when you have the two elements together, when people are so angry, and one of the hottest crowds in the world, so angry at both of these guys, it's going to be hilarious. You know, it would be entertaining, but not for the right reasons. It would represent everything that people hate about the WWE currently.
All right, well, I definitely reached my decision on this one, and there's an obvious front runner from argument number one. I think he just presented his point better. I think it made a lot more sense. I think he laid out why it would make sense from a storyline standpoint. And I think, honestly, that Justin did a good job. I think that Justin did a good job of explaining why Reigns versus Cena would work in this situation. And how it would really work through... and how that this would really kind of like be like, pick a side, Reigns or Cena. And then you get these guys who don't like Cena... But now that you've booked kind of a more badass Reigns, maybe they're willing to get behind Reigns now. And you got those the people that are like, oh, Reigns sucks. I'm okay with John Cena now. He hasn't been pushed down my throat nearly as much in the last couple of years. And
oh, just you
they'll
wait.
Go to that side. And I think honestly that's kind of a cool dynamic that I would want to see in a pay-per-view. So that's where I'm going.
man. If you think this is bullshit, you need to tweet at Duke PW. You need to tweet both these people. This is bullshit.
Duke, you're cutting out because you suck. Woo!
You need to tweet these people and say that this is bullshit, man. Hey, hey, America, everybody worldwide, man. Y'all need to tweet these people. This is wrong.
All six of you motherfuckers, tweet me. There's a decent chance I could even block you. That'd be fun. You can tell your mom about it and cry over your bowl of Fruit Loops.
Friggin' all the cool people get eliminated and it's Roman Reigns versus Cena. Boo! You both suck! You both suck! It's New York City, man.
I also wasn't looking at it as a team. It was just one-on-one.
It's not a regular crowd.
I just think he did a better job of telling his story here. All right, well, that wraps us up for today. That means Justin's our winner, and if you want to tweet at us, use the hashtag PWTR. I know Justin and Manny check that quite a bit. Just remember, I owe you nothing, and absolutely, my mantra has been, fuck the fans, so let's just go ahead and stick with that.
Yeah, fuck the fans. That's ultimately how it goes. If you agree with Duke, fuck you too. You want to be down with PWTR, fuck you too.
I fucked your bitch, you fat.
Alright, so everybody who does care about what their Twitter names, I think it's PWTR Justin, is that right?
Yep.
Alright, so we got PWTR Justin, we got, is it Dave the Outlaw?
Yep. Guns and Rosebuds. And
we got Dave the Outlaw, formerly Guns and Rosebuds, if that lets you know how sane this guy is. Like I said, tweet us with the hashtag PWTR. Manny is absent this week, but you can tweet at him with the you can tweet at him at PWTR, and make sure you check us out on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, or on your computer. And most important, and also check out PWF Empire Live. They go live on Tuesdays on YouTube, and they also have an iTunes and a Stitcher feed. So make sure you check them out there. And from all of us here at PWTR Studios, go fuck yourself.